Well, as you can all see, I hope you can all see, or I hope some of you are awake and scratching your head. What's he doing passing out the mid-trib view? It's because I didn't have my glasses on when I did this last night, and I had a marker in the book that I took this out of, and I flipped to it and saw the chart, and I just copied it and got them all ready and went to bed. I didn't go to bed. I stayed up and wrote a bunch of stuff for the lesson this morning, but I wanted the pre-trib. So he presents one of these in pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib, but they're all the same, except where you put the arrow. And so I don't know if any of you are mid-tribbers today, but I'm pre-trib. Because I think we've been trying to support the fact that the 70th week of Daniel that we're going to talk about, this final seven-year period, cannot commence until the church is removed. And when the church is removed, then God's going to turn back and deal with who? With Israel, with the covenant nation. For how long? 7 years. There's no reason for the church to be around. Mid-tribbers want to keep us here until things get really bad. And I tell them, well, you stay. I'm going to go enjoy an extra 3.5 years in heaven with the Lord. So that's the basic difference. Is they say that the first 3.5 years, things aren't really bad. The wrath of God has not been released. Therefore, the church is still here for the first 3.5 years. The final 3.5 years is certainly the great tribulation, where God releases his wrath in the 3 series of sevenfold judgments. But we'll talk some more about that. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. Yeah. He won't be able to arise and come to power until the restrainer is removed.
Right.
And the argument is, who's the pronoun he there? And I believe it's the Holy Spirit residing within us, believers, and we will be removed because the church is complete before God turns back to deal with Israel during that final 7 years. And I don't know about you all, if you've been watching the news, but what just happened in the Middle East this last few days? It's huge. Things are ready to explode over there. And who's got the foothold? Hamas. A terrorist organization is throwing the Palestinians out, and they're begging Israel to let them back into their territory. No, you took land from us already. We let you have it. We were forced under Carter to give it to you. You take it back or sorry. Go find someplace else to go. You aren't coming back in our land. So things are just brewing over there, aren't they? And all the northern borders, countries of Israel, Syria, Damascus, all of that up to the north, they're all fighting. And it's all the terrorists, this Islamic jihad that seems to be gaining strength. And who's supporting it all and pumping all the money into it is Iran. So just interesting developments, interesting happenings. Is the time drawing close? What do you think? Well, we don't know, but it seems like shadows are abounding in our day, and shadows reflect the reality. And what's the reality? That he's coming again. And when you see all these things happening and increasing, just a few days ago, Texas, not too far below us, a lot of the different counties just north of Dallas were swept away with torrential downpours, like the days of Noah, like we had here a few weeks ago, came through there and just swept trailer parks away. And they couldn't believe it. And then they went from there overnight up to Chicago and blasted all that Illinois area up there. So we're living in perilous times, so it's very interesting. But back in Daniel here, we're dealing with Daniel's last 7 weeks, and we've given you some charts to be able to look at the chronology of events. And if we, I don't know if we've determined the 69 weeks for sure. Larry had an interesting point. If any of you downloaded Isaac Newton's material, don't raise your hands if you did. Isaac who? Well, they got memories like a bear trap, I'll tell you.
He's the guy with the apple, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, Larry pointed out he did download it and read it, and Isaac Newton wasn't trying to defend Daniel. He was just looking at the data and doing his mathematical calculations, and he came out very similar to those who have used this to defend Daniel and have tried to work out a chronology. So I thought that was interesting. And what Larry said to me this morning was, all these different sources all come up pretty close. And I don't think anybody can pinpoint the day, even though Harold Honer says that he has. But Sir Robert Anderson said that he had. But they're close is the point, depending on the year where you started, and they're very, very close within a year for most of these here that we've given you. So we say that it started either in March 5th, 444, or ended there in March 30th, AD 33. And that's what we've given you on the chart here. And what is that period of time? What started March 5th, 444, and ended March 30th, AD 33? The 69 sevens of Daniel's 70 weeks. And what began that was Israel in the book of Nehemiah, where they secured the walls and it became a city. Over and over and over again, it's mentioned here concerning your people, your holy city. So when the decree went forth and the city was, as Dr. Pentecost says, in that ancient day, if you didn't have walls, you didn't have a fortified city. You had to have walls. You had to be able to protect the city. What is it that Israel's screaming for over there today? What do they want? They want a man that will do what for them? And they will call him Messiah. That will give them security and give them peace and give them back the Temple Mount so they can carry on worship of God again. That's what they're looking for. And so it's interesting to see some of the similarities here. As we said, Jesus' triumphal entry when he rode into Jerusalem on the day that he offered himself up as king, that's that March 30th, AD 33. And a few days later on Friday, he was crucified. And that's April 3rd, 33 AD, according to Honer on that chart that you have. That's the 69 weeks that we looked at last week. So there's 1 week left, isn't there? And we've determined that these are years, I hope we have. So 483 years have run their course. And from the time of Nehemiah and the securing of the city until the coming of Christ and his offering himself officially to the nation, it's 483 years, and I don't know if that boggles your mind. I don't understand all these mathematical computations, but Harold Honer, Sir Robert Anderson, Isaac Newton, they understood these things, and if you read, you have to read 100 pages to get all the ins and outs of it all, and that's way over my head, but it works out, and I think it's fabulous, and that should be, do we need that to work out to have faith? No. But it's fabulous to see that God told Daniel, seal this up because it won't be understood until the latter days. I really believe we're in the latter days. And we do have an understanding of these things because they're coming to pass on our own day. This whole thing we've been studying about, this 10-nation federation that would comprise the old Roman Empire, that fourth beast of Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. Who is that fourth beast? The Roman Empire. What are the 10 toes? The final form of the Roman Empire. That's a reformation with a 10-nation federation out of which Antichrist will come into league as an 11th. He will be an outside ruler that's going to come in and take over the European Commonwealth. And I just received an article from one of our mission organizations, from a missionary that we're supporting. And he used to be with this organization. He isn't anymore. He's with a new one. But this organization, we supported them for years, so we just got a letter from them, and they're crying for financial support for their missionaries in Europe. And they pointed out in this letter that this year the dollar has fallen 15%. And listen to this, that's staggering. What did I tell you when I went to Budapest and I tried to give them dollars? What would they say to me? Don't want your dollars. Give us euro dollars. Give us euro dollars. We don't want your dollar. And when I came home, I just had a really bad feeling in my gut that wasn't a good thing, that our dollar is devaluating. In this missionary letter, it's catastrophic. It is alarming. In the last 5 years, guess how much our dollar has fallen against the euro dollar since it started? In 5 years, how much has the U.S. dollar fallen in Europe, do you think? 50%. 50%. That is staggering. And I realize statistics can be, you know, gathered to support someone's cause, but I tend to think it's bad, and so they're rising and we're going down the tubes, aren't we? And I think some of you heard and some have told me about John MacArthur was on Dobson last week, and he talked about God has abandoned America. that when homosexuality in any society in history has come out of the closet and was paraded about, that was the end of that nation. And MacArthur's point, and I agree, is that we've been given an extra 20, 30 years of grace so far, and you know, it's getting worse every day all around us. And No Fear of the Storm, I thought, is an appropriate title here to this chart I gave you today, because for you and I as believers, we shouldn't have fear of the storm, but we should be busy and active trying to get people on board. I want you all to pray for me this morning. I'm going out to have coffee with a young fella that's divorced my little niece, running around partying and carrying on, and they're divorced, and he's moved back to the area, and I'm going to go out. He's agreed to see me this morning. I'm going to go have a coffee with him and tell him he's dead. He's a walking dead man, and he needs Jesus Christ, because his drunkenness and drugs and all that's going to take him straight to hell. And he was tending church. He's tended church a little, and I've been able to talk to him a little bit before, but I'm going to go put the sail on him this morning and see if his heart's ready, if God's going to pluck him in. That's what we're to be about, isn't it? Study to show yourselves approved as workmen that are adequately able to handle the word of truth. To do what? Just to get smarter? Get more Bible-ese in our head? No. So that we can get out there and share Christ. And we need to live it so that we have the privilege of sharing the Lord. So we're talking about then, after the 62 weeks, verse 26, the Messiah will be cut off after 62 plus that earlier 69 total weeks. After 69 total weeks, Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. Who are the people of the prince that are to come that killed Messiah and destroyed the city?
The Romans.
And the prince who is to come, that's that end day Antichrist that's going to arise. We've saw some little glimpses of him over there in chapter 7. He's the one with the boastful mouth, isn't he? Declaring that he is to be worshipped in chapter 7. In the midst of that fabulous vision in chapter 7 of the Ancient of Days and all of his glory, God the Father. And then Christ, then in the middle, this little horn is boasting and declaring he is God and he is to be worshipped. And then Jesus shows up before the Father and is presented with dominion, with a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And so we've had little pictures of him. And here it's talked about the fact that they're going to, the Romans are going to kill the Messiah. He's going to have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come is going to destroy the holy city. When did that happen? After Jesus' death, 70 AD, Titus, who wasn't yet emperor, he came in with the Roman legions and came down through that corridor that we call the Holy Land and just decimated them, and destroyed the city again. Who had done that earlier? Who's the one that started this whole chronology of Daniel? Who started the times of the Gentiles that we've been studying here for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks? Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. What did he do? What was the official thing that he did that started the times of the Gentiles? He came in and took over Israel, didn't he? And then he totally decimated and destroyed them in 586, wiped out the temple because they wouldn't totally submit to him. He, Nebuchadnezzar, is a type of that final coming world ruler that's going to rule over the whole world. Antichrist, we call him. So we see lots of pictures of these individuals in here. He's going to come, and the end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be wars. Desolations are determined. Let's look at Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. Let's see what Jesus had to say about this time. Matthew 24. And Jesus is coming out of the temple. They cross the Kidron Valley, and they're going up on the Mount of Olivet. And the sun was coming up out of the east, and it reflected upon the Temple Mount, and it just radiated. There was a lot of gold decoration, and when the sun hit it, it just shone like a diamond. And the disciples said to Jesus, look at that, Lord. Isn't that absolutely fabulous, the temple? Then they ask him a couple questions. Verse 3, they were sitting on the Mount of Olives, and they were looking at all this, and they said to him, tell us privately, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? So it's a couple of questions there. When's the destruction? Up in verse 2, he said that the temple's going to be destroyed. Do you not see all these things, referring to the Temple Mount and the glorious temple? Truly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down. And that happened in 70 AD. And they wanted to know now, when is this going to happen? But at this point in Christ's ministry, this is his final week, and he's getting ready to be crucified. And what had they learned in 3.5 years of traveling around with him? Not much, and it's not good to ask him a question. So they had, at this point in their in his ministry and towards the end, they were afraid to ask him questions. But finally, on the mount, the disciples said to him, tell us, when are these things going to be? And when's the temple going to be torn down? When are these things going to be? The most natural reference to that is that the temple, not one stone's going to be left upon another. They're going to be decimated. So when's the destruction going to come? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And the sign of your coming and the end of the end of the age are one event in the Jewish mind. And as we study the prophets, what always precedes his second coming and the end of the age? A time of horrible tribulation in the prophets, isn't it? Before the promise of restoration comes. So here, same theme. They understand it and they ask him this question. And so Jesus answers them in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no man misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will mislead many. I think there's 800 or 900 that I know of today and over the last number of years that claim to be Messiah. Every once in a while they make it to the forefront in the news. Think of David Koresh. Who's this new one down in Florida? This Puerto Rican. Throughout the Latin world, he is Messiah. He claims to be Jesus Christ. Multi-millionaire. I forget his name. They did a special on 60 Minutes about a month ago on him. But lots of them, they come all the time. And they are worshipped and just super rich. People just flock to him and give him everything they own. Don't understand that. I wish I could figure that out. But the Lord says you don't need it, so don't go there. Verse 6, you're going to be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. You think that's fulfilled today? So there's two things fulfilled. We got Antichrist running around everywhere. There's wars going on everywhere. See to it that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places, oh, here's some more, famines and earthquakes, deluges of rain, flooding. Are those things going on? Hurricanes? What just happened with old Katrina there a couple years back, huh? And I think it's going to happen again. Well, let's rush down there and put billions in and rebuild it all. Yeah. Verse 8, all of these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Oh, that's a bummer. I mean, it's going to get worse? Yeah, it's going to get worse. Verse 9, then they will deliver you over to tribulation. And the then and the you, you have to figure out who's the then and the you. The then is going to refer to the final power that's in power, and that's going to be Antichrist, I think we're going to see. We'll keep going here. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. Is anti-Semitism on the rise? You better believe it. And things are going to heat up so much over there in the Middle East. So far, this is my own personal view. Take it for whatever it's worth. Probably worthless, but this is my view. As long as the United States continues to support and help Israel and stand by their side, God won't completely take us out. He's going to drown us in immorality and problems as a people, where we're all going to be saying, oh, Lord, come get me out of here. But as long as we support Israel, I think we'll stand. That's just my own personal view. You go back and study history. Who's the one that helped Israel become a nation and supported them and then withdrew their support, and we stepped in and took it over? England. What happened to England when they withdrew their support to Israel? They went down the tubes. And what happened to us? We've been on top ever since. God has blessed us because...
I heard a guy say that. We're getting there too.
Yeah, well, before too long, we're all going to be taking a 3-hour siesta.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, Bill's already working on that one.
Back to three, to four.
Three, four.
Sorry, Gary.
No, no, that's okay.
You were on the roll.
Going to be hated by all nations on account of his name. If you're out there trying to share Christ anymore, I'm pretty amazed that people don't want to hear it. Before people, you could tell them, and now they'll just say, no, I don't want to hear that. Don't believe that. Don't. I believe as long as I'm a good person. You're not. You can't be. So it's getting tougher to share with people, but we're lovingly to stay calm and share with them, because there's still some out there that are going to accept. And we don't know who that is. What's our job? To share the good news. We don't close on the deal. The Holy Spirit does. So take every opportunity to keep sharing. Verse 10. At that time, many will fall. Now, in verse 9 here, Dr. Walvoord and others and myself, we believe that these, from verse 5 to 8, is the first half of the tribulation. It's the first half of the tribulation. So all these things that we see happening right now in our day are all leading up to and going to continue to multiply. All these natural disasters and wars and problems, they're going to multiply up until we're taken, and verses 5 to 8 are the first half of the tribulation. They're going to continue to multiply after we're taken. And then in verse 9, some event happens where things are going to get much worse. And we believe that then there is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and we're going to flip to Revelation here in a minute and show you why. So verses 9 to 15 are the last half of the tribulation. There, you will be delivered up, the Jews will be delivered up, who had this peace agreement that we started to talk about there, and we're going to go back to here in just a minute. Antichrist, when he comes on the throne, according to Daniel 9:27, he's going to sign a peace agreement with Israel, promising them security and peace for a 7-year period, right? And that should ring some bells in some of the Jews' minds in that day. They should think of Daniel 9:27, and I think some of the Orthodox Jews will, but they'll be drowned out by the political. The political arm is going to go for it and seize this peace. But during this last 3.5 years, they're going to be delivered up, hated by all nations. Verse 10, and at that time, many will fall away and deliver up one another and hate one another. Verse 11, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. We're experiencing all of this today, aren't we? Kids out of control. The Sunday school program, on a good day, I got the women up here want to jump out the windows. And they're trying to control them. And it's just some of the little kids, they don't know any control. And yet, what do? We just say, well, and here's a new movement, we're going to a family church. You bring little Johnny and Sue, will you sit with them and you make them mind or take them outside or whatever, because they can't get Sunday school teachers anymore. It's the newest movement in the church. It's so out of control, they can't control them in the Sunday school, so they've turned it into family church. We take care of your own kids, because we can't get anybody to go upstairs and take care of them. So these things are all happening right now in our day. You see kids in the stores throwing fits because they don't get a toy or something? Instant gratification? This is all happening, and it's leading up to ultimately what's going to come. Their love's going to grow totally cold. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. The one who endures, oh, that's a bummer. During the tribulation period, the one who doesn't take the mark of Antichrist but endures to the end of their life by being beheaded and put to death by Antichrist, they will be saved. This is tribulation language. This isn't talking about us so much. That's pretty tough. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the kingdom, what's that about? The good news about Jesus Christ, the king, who came to offer Israel the kingdom. What'd they do to him? They put him to death. They didn't want the kingdom he had to offer the first time. When he comes back the second time, it'll be the same gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's coming. And during the tribulation period, those Jews that repent and don't take the mark of Antichrist and Gentiles, whoever doesn't take the mark of Antichrist, that will comprise the group that will enter into the millennial kingdom with Christ on earth. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Here's the classic interpretation of this. You and I got to preach the gospel so the end can come, so Jesus can come. Isn't that the way that's commonly interpreted? Let's look at Revelation 14, 6 and 7, and let me show you what I think this means. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world, and then the end will come. But we have 144,000 witnesses in chapter 14 that are going to be sealed from the tribes of Israel, and they're going to be sent out. They will be given supernatural protection, and I believe that they're sent out during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation personally. Others believe it's the second half, and you know, you can put them wherever you want to put them. But the point being, you've got 144,000 that are sealed. But what I'm after, here's what I'm after, is verse 6. Look at verse 6 with me. And I saw another angel flying in the mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live upon the earth, to every nation, to every tribe, and to every people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water." And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." Point being, two angels are flying around. One is preaching the gospel of repentance. Repent, receive Christ, do not receive Antichrist. These angels are flying around the heavens. It's like the Snoopy blimp, you know, they have these little trailers over the ball games and circle the park with advertising, or these airplanes, we've seen them, with the streamers behind them that, you know, fly over the landing down there, eat at Joe's Crab Shack. But angels are going to be declaring the eternal gospel. Repent, fear God. How do you fear God? By acknowledging him, by doing what he says, repent, receive Christ. But if they do, there will be a price. As you read through the book of Revelation, Antichrist will hunt them down and kill them. All these satellites in place today, I was just thinking about this on the way in this morning. I'm driving my daughter's truck, and she's got one of those new satellite navigation systems in it. And it tells you every street. I mean, you can't get lost. I mean, I guess you could, but I mean, it shows you where you are. You can punch in where you want to go, and that's the problem. You got to figure out how to punch all that in and run all that. But just amazing technology. What is that technology? The satellites are all in place. This new chip that they're perfecting, you know, this just tiny, tiny microchip that they're testing them, implanting them under people's hands, implanting them on their body, and they can track them. They can use them to purchase, to buy and sell. And 30 years ago, when I was at Biola College, the credit card had just come out. And the professor, Dr. Curtis Mitchell, he was using all this and telling us about the credit card that they were testing on the big military base down in Georgia. And he said, you know, they're keeping this all top secret, but they're going to bring it in, phase it in little by little, and pretty soon you're going to go to the grocery store and there's going to be scanners and all your food's going to have codes, and they'll just burp, burp, and your banking, you'll just push a button, burp, and he said, and eventually they're going to somehow have something on our bodies which will represent the mark of the beast, and it'll have your name, and you can't buy or sell with that. And we all, you know, and it wasn't too many years later that they're putting out the credit cards. And at first you couldn't get one unless you had sterling credit. Now we get two or three a day. My question is, how do they pay for the advertisement and just sign this and start using the card? How do they pay for all that? Capital One, we get one every 2-3 weeks from Capital One. They don't want to give up on me. And I'd do the same thing with all of them. Cut them up, throw them in the trash. But this is all coming upon us. And my point being, all of this technology is put in place for the final day. Is it near? Is it at hand? How then should we be living? I need more stuff. I need more stuff. I want more stuff. I want more money. Or should we be living to make a living and use it to share the good news with people? These angels will fly around the heavens proclaiming the gospel. The 144,000 on foot will be making their way around the earth proclaiming the gospel. What are you and I to be doing until Christ takes us? Proclaiming the gospel. But is it up to us to bring the end in? That's my point here. It's not up to us. That's a misinterpretation of Scripture. So next time you got the cable TV channel on and they're unpacking this and saying, "Dearly beloved, we need money to get this done. If you want Jesus to come, you got to send your money." Well, now you can just say, wait a minute. They don't need my money. They need me to be doing it, and I need to support my missionaries through my church. Or if God should lay something on your heart, certainly do that. But this will be done by the Lord, and Jesus will come. Verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Now, what's that all about, the abomination of desolation? We studied that in Daniel already, haven't we? And there's more of it coming. This is where Antichrist, remember Antiochus Epiphanes, who was just a shadow of the coming Antichrist in chapter 8? What did Antiochus Epiphanes do? Slaughtered a pig in the holy place and demanded to be worshipped as God. That's the abomination of desolation referred to in Daniel the prophet. And Jesus is putting him yet future when you see him coming. So what about the one back in Daniel? He's just a foreshadowing. He's a type of the ultimate one that will come. And what's he going to do? He's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel, Daniel 9:27, guaranteeing them 7 years. And in the middle of that peace treaty, he's going to break the treaty with them, and desolation is going to come. And Daniel the prophet spoke about it. He's going to go into the holy place and desecrate it and demand to be worshipped himself. Look at Revelation 13 with me now. Revelation 13, and he stood upon the sand of the seashore, and I saw a great beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names. The beast coming up out of the sea pictures the Gentile peoples of the world. And look at this, 10 horns, a 10-nation confederacy comprising the old Roman Empire, having 7 heads. When Antichrist comes to power, he's not one of the 10. What's one of the first things he does when he comes in part of coming to power? He comes into the League of 10 or having their annual budget meeting or whatever, and he comes in and he says, fellas, I'm going to be in charge from now on. And what do these three on the end over here do? No, you're not. And so he kills 3 of them, and how many are left? 7. So out of the 10, we've got 7, and he's going to rule over them. And the beast, verse 2, which I saw, it looked like a leopard, the Greek Empire. Its feet were like those of a bear, the Media-Persian Empire, and his mouth was like a lion, the Babylonian Empire. He goes backwards from the Roman to the Greek to the Persian to the Babylonian. He represents the kingdoms spoken about by Daniel. The authority of the Gentile nations, the Gentile kingdoms, is represented by this one. His mouth, the mouth of a lion, lots of roaring, lots of noise. And the dragon gave him power and his throne and great authority. Who's the dragon? Satan. Satan gives Antichrist his power, his throne, his authority. And I saw one of the heads that looked as if it had been slain. There's going to be battle. There's going to be warfare during the tribulation period. And for the first 3.5 years, it's going to be somewhat peace on earth. There's going to be problems are increasing. But Antichrist will be in charge. He will be in control. But then he's going to be slain. The nations are going to revolt against him. He's in the Holy Land. They're going to come against him and kill him. But Satan's going to raise him up with a phony resurrection. Don't know if he's going to be cloned or a lookalike or just exactly how it's going to be done. But it will be a phony resurrection. He will be raised up because one of his heads looked as if he had been slain with a fatal wound. That's a mortal wound, and it had been healed. So all deception. He's going to be killed, and someone else, a lookalike, is going to be put in there. And the whole earth is amazed and follow after the beast because they're going to watch this on TV, seeing him killed and then resurrected and healed. They're going to say, who can fight against the Lord's anointed? So they're going to follow him. They're going to worship him. And they're going to worship the dragon, Satan, because they gave beast, he gave his authority to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him? What has Satan wanted from the moment that he first fell? Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. What has he been after? Why did he fall? What precipitated his fall from being the head created being, the head angel, the one who guarded the very throne of God? What caused him to fall? What was he after? Pride?
He wanted to be God.
He wanted to be worshipped as God by all of God's vast creation. And this is going back into the eternal ages before man was on the earth. And so he's always wanted to be worshipped. Here's where he's driving towards. He's finally going to be in full control over all the earth with Antichrist in place and all the people of the world worshiping the Satan and worshiping the dragon, verse 4, because he gave his authority and power to the beast, Antichrist. And who can wage war with him? We might as well submit to him, because we saw he was killed. His head, he got his head blown off, and he was raised up. So who can wage war? We might as well just give in to him. Verse 5, and there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words. That's Daniel 7, verse 8. Remember that? Great boastful words and blasphemies and authority to act. There was given to him authority. Who actually gives the authority? Who is sovereign God in the book of Daniel? Or who's the sovereign in the book of Daniel? God. And he is sovereign. And he gives him authority to act for how long? 42 months. How long's that? 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war and upon the saints to overcome them. Authority, universal authority is given to him over every tribe and people, tongue and nation. It was given to him. And all who dwell upon the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he's going to go. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance of the saint, of the faith, and of the saints. So a lot going on here. My point turning to that is to kind of set up this scenario of Daniel 9:27, where we're going back to now. And look at this chart. We've got 15 minutes to look at it. Maybe we'll get this done here. Looking at the chart I gave you today. In Daniel 9:27, it says, and he, this one we've been talking about, the people of the prince who is to come, I think we've established, that's Rome, isn't it? Isn't Rome the one that killed Christ? Isn't Rome the one that destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70? Who is the final world ruling power? A reformation of the old Roman Empire. How many nations will that be comprised of? That will comprise the old Roman Empire in its glorious heyday. Ten nations.
Seven hills.
And then, yeah, the seven hills of Rome. It'll be a ten-nation federation. Three of those world leaders, those nations, will be killed when Antichrist comes to power because they will oppose him. And apparently they're going to have power to oppose him. So that certainly has to be Germany, doesn't it? Germany and who else? I don't know, maybe... well, Russia doesn't comprise the old Roman Empire, so they won't be part of the ten. But I don't know. There'll be three strong rulers that will try to unite and oppose him, and he will kill them. And the other seven will say, "You demand, yes, sir," and they'll fall into league with him. But the first thing he's going to do, and before he can ever do this, the church has to be removed, doesn't he? That's what Curtis referred to when we got started. Good verse to know: 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 10. Before Daniel 9:27 can commence, I believe, the church has to be removed. Pre-trib. The church is removed, and then, after the church is removed, he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. That final 7 years of Daniel's 490 years. But in the middle of that week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wings of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So what we read about there in Revelation 13 is this last phase. The abomination is going to come forward when he goes into the temple that's been rebuilt. The whole world, everybody's just kind of having a happy day, except the nations out of the north, Russia, and the nations, it seems like China, and the bloc of nations and it could be the Arab coalition as well. They're going to come against Antichrist at the midpoint of the tribulation and say, you know what, we've had enough. And at that point, he's going to be resurrected. He's going to be killed and resurrected. And God, it seems like, as you read Ezekiel, it seems like God himself is going to judge the nations that come against Antichrist and wipe them all out. so that all the people of the earth will believe the lie and follow Antichrist, it seems. Just bizarre. It's just the whole thing is bizarre. But God is going to have his way with the people of the earth. The main point here is the making of the covenant for 1 week. Antichrist will make a 7-year covenant with the nation of Israel. And if you talk to almost any Jew on the street in Israel, if you go to Israel, this is what they're looking for. This very thing. They want someone who will bring them peace and security against this tidal wave of anti-Semitism by the Arab world all around them. And I said it a few years ago under Clinton, when they made Israel give up the Gaza Strip. I think I was one of the last ones that year. It was in 2000 or 2001. I was one of the last ones that our tour went down to Gaza and dipped in the ocean there. And the people looked at us with disdain. And right then, the Palestinians were getting more and more power and authority. And once Israel pulled out of there, it's been closed. You can't go anywhere near there. And now they've been kicked out. Hamas has taken over. They're all the same people. It's just what group you're betting with or backing. But all of this is heating up over there, and Israel is looking for this one who will make this covenant with them, a 7-year peace agreement. But in the middle of the week, and that's what Jesus was talking about there in Matthew 24, that when you see the abomination of desolation come into the Holy of Holies, which Daniel the prophet spoke about, and that was outlined for us there in chapter 8, Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a type of Antichrist to come. Antiochus Epiphanes, he came historically, dominated the Jews, set up his own image in the Holy of Holies, slaughtered a pig in there to totally desecrate the holy place. Antichrist will do the same thing during the tribulation period, but he himself will sit in the new restored temple in the Holy of Holies and declare himself God and demand to be worshipped. But he will be killed at the midpoint of the tribulation period. There's a number of other things going on there in Revelation 12, 13. Satan is going to be cast out of the heavenly sphere to the earth, and he won't be able to roam anymore. And he's going to just be filled with wrath and rage because he knows that his time is short. And he's going to try to annihilate all the Jews and anyone who professes Jesus Christ. So all of that's packed in and going on here. He's going to put a stop to the sacrifice and grain offering. Are they offering sacrifice over there today? They're not, are they? But the time is coming under Antichrist when he's going to secure them, give them back the Temple Mount. Ron Allen believes, and he points out, he's got a diagram, that on the Temple Mount, the current mosque sits, the Mosque of Omar sits about right there. There's plenty of room here, and Dr. Allen believes that the former temple was right here. And it's going to be rebuilt right here, right next to the mosque. So they don't need to tear down the mosque. They'll just make a peace agreement with them. That's Ron Allen's view. Others believe no. Antichrist is going to come to power and wipe the mountain clean and build the temple right on where the mosque is. Opposing views, we don't know for sure. Ron Allen's view is certainly credible because there's plenty of room there to build it. And we can abide side by side in peace. Isn't it all about tolerance and embracing one another? Doesn't matter what you believe today. So different views on that. But it will be rebuilt. Sacrifices will be put in order. They have everything there today to build it. They have had for years. They've trained the priests. They have Orthodox priests ready to start the sacrifices again. They're even genetically, all this genetic science that's going on. What's the one thing that they don't have? And I still don't think they do. I don't know for sure. Maybe somebody's heard. What's the one thing they don't have that they've been working on? The red heifer. The red heifer. And genetically, they're working like crazy over there, the labs, the genetic labs in Israel, whereas a lot of this technology is coming out of Israel. The computers and the chips and a lot of this comes right out of Israel, which gives them lots of money. But they're working on the red heifer. They got to get this red heifer thing. And if they need to, they'll probably just spray paint one or dye them or something, dip them in like we do Easter eggs, you know. They'll have it ready when the time comes.
It's all a lie, so it's just a matter of being sold.
Deception. As you read through Revelation, what's it say that the Antichrist does to the people and his false prophet What's Antichrist, false prophet? He's able to call fire down from heaven with all deception. What's this new guy on TV, Mind Freak? How's he do the stuff he does? It's got to be demons. Totally sold out. Have you seen this guy? And some of the stuff he can do? It's demons. I mean, this is so deep. And to me, it's just a little picture of what Satan's got in store for the powers of Antichrist and his false religious prophet. It's coming quick. And I believe God gives them the ability to do these things. And for those that aren't discerning, what's his name? Chris Rock or?
Chris Angel.
Chris Angel's his name. And this guy does, I mean, he levitates and does all kinds of crazy things. And it's not illusion. It's the ultimate illusion. It's not illusion. It's demons. The stuff that he's able to do. So anyway. I think it's all leading up to this. With this chart here, forget the line. Just put your line for the rapture over at the beginning there. I broke this down, and from past ages, I put a little line on mine, and I've got from the days of Daniel till the coming of Christ, 69 weeks, or 483 years. And then we've got something that this chart says is the church age, and I put a set of brackets in there for mine from the cross up until that first line at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, I put a set of brackets. And Dr. Lewis Sperry Chafer at Dallas Seminary called this the inner advent, the parentheses in God's program for Israel, or the inter advent, where he now has introduced a brand new program. It's a mystery that was never before revealed in the Old Testament. Paul says it's a mystery that was never before revealed. He talks about it in Ephesians and Colossians, which is the church. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Both Jew and Gentile now are comprised of one new man, the man Christ Jesus. We're all in the body of Christ. So that's the inner advent church age, and it's 2,000 years and going, isn't it? 2,000 years plus. And then we come to the tribulation, and it's split in half here, 3.5 and 3.5. The first is political. The first 3.5 years are political, and the second 3.5 years will be religious, where Antichrist then is going to declare himself, as we read out of Revelation 13, what's he going to declare? That he is God. And both segments of this, it'll be more strongly political in the beginning, won't it? Because he comes in and takes over the 10-nation federation. He takes over the world body at that time that's in control and power. And of course, in all of this, I don't know if you got your thinking cap on this morning, but where is America in all of this? Doesn't sound good for us, does it? Does that mean, oh no, it's coming, Hillary's going to get elected, and then all hell's going to really break loose? I don't know. Doesn't matter which one of them get elected. For the most part, it's all immorality. Did you see the latest special report they did on the new World News a few nights ago about how many Mormons there are in this country that are senators? And we've got, is it Mitt Romney from Massachusetts, who have allowed gay marriage and all that going on up there? And do you see that the people wrote in ballots that they want that on their ballot? And do you see what the representatives in Massachusetts did? Just threw it in the trash can. It's not going to be on the ballot. Gay marriage stands in Massachusetts. I couldn't believe it. Anyway. The point being, Mitt Romney, the special report that they did is they showed all of the different senators and leaders in our country that are Mormons. And it was a big sale. No, they said they're not polygamous. They got rid of that 110 years ago, and that was wrong. And they went to the head elder of the Mormon church to ask him what he thought about Mitt Romney possibly being a presidential candidate. And here's what he said. What could be better than a man that is a follower of Jesus Christ? We are, after all, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We are built on Jesus Christ. We believe in family and morality, and that's what our country needs. And I thought, what a snow job. What the problem is, what Jesus? Their Jesus Christ is not the deity, God-man that you and I worship and follow. It's a different Savior. And so more and more in the news, all of this is just coming forward. And so now we might have, well, he's at the bottom of the poll, so I don't think he'll make it. But it doesn't matter which one of them they put in there. It's still curtains for the U.S., I think. But so you got political the first 3.5 years, because that's how he's going to come to power as a political entity. He's going to have all the answers. When all the Christians are raptured off this earth, that's going to leave a big vacuum, and chaos, and Antichrist is going to be able to explain all that away. And he is going to be able to come to power on the wake of the church being taken. 3.5 years of seemingly peace and prosperity for those of the world. But then in the midpoint of the tribulation there that we read about in Revelation 13, where Satan is cast to the earth, and that's in chapter 12, actually, and that brings about warfare on the earth and just he's going to seek to totally annihilate the Jewish people. And during the last 3.5 years, then, is religious with him on the throne and God releasing his wrath in the three series of sevenfold judgments upon the earth, one just right after another, just devastating the earth and the people that live upon it. And these angels flying around telling people, all you got to do is repent. It's going to be quite a day. And then Christ, his glorious appearing, where he comes back again with the saints. And all of in Revelation 19, 11 and 12 there, it talks about him coming back with the armies of heaven clothed in white. I believe that's us, redeemed, glorified saints. We come back with him, not to do battle. Sorry for those of you that want to get even. Not to do battle. We'll just watch him as he just simply speaks a word and says, enough, and grabs a hold of Antichrist and the false religious prophet, throws them into the eternal lake of fire, deals with all the nations that are gathered over there to do battle against the Lord's anointed, and he will establish his kingdom, judge among the peoples of the earth, build his millennial temple. What a day that's going to be. And then assign different ones of us places to serve under our wives. No, I don't know. Absolutely. That's the point of the proclamation of the gospel. They will see them, and they will hear them. They will hear them. They will see them. And we know from Revelation there of all the witnesses that are underneath, all the martyrs, I'm sorry, that are under the throne of the Lamb saying, how much longer, how much longer, where the blood of the martyrs will be avenged. That's those that are killed during the tribulation period. So multitudes are going to be saved, will accept Jesus Christ. What a fabulous day that'll be. But I think it's much better to go now than to, you know, go through all that torment and be beheaded and all that good stuff. Won't be a lot of fun. Yeah, amazed. The whole world will be amazed. We have to follow him and worship him. You know, there's an interesting scripture. I don't like it, but what you just said, that all those who have had an opportunity will turn after the church is taken.
Try.
Well, look at 2 Thessalonians. Well, I'll read it to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deception of wickedness for those who perish because they refuse to receive the love of the truth and be saved, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who refuse to believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. So they won't be allowed to turn. And you say, well, then who's going to turn? All of those billions out there who have never heard. They will be given opportunity, but for those family members, I have a brother, ex-brother-in-law, and he used to laugh and say, when I would try to share Christ with him, he'd say, well, just when you get taken, I'm going to move into your house and live in your house and drive. I said, man, you can have it. You know, you want the combination of the safe too? I'll leave it for you, you know?